Hi everyone, welcome once again to 24-Bit Podcast, and today we are shooting episode number 65. I will tell you why 65 is significant in a short while, but as usual, I'm joined by the usual suspects, that is Dickson Otieno. Dickson is behind the equipment directing this, and
Nick Canali.
Okay, so today is an interesting episode because episode 65 comes after 64, and episode 64 we actually talked about an interesting new entrant into the internet space in Kenya, that is satellite internet and being offered by Starlink.
Oh yeah.
So now with Starlink around, it's only fair that we follow it up with something that most of you are listening and all of us here on the table use, that is Safaricom Home Fiber. Nick, you've been using Home Fiber for how long now?
Yeah, I've been a Safaricom Home Fiber, I think, since Home Fiber actually went live. That was in 2017, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, so since then I've been using Home Fiber, moving houses from living, you know, in Embakasi, moving to Wayaki, and I'm still in Home Fiber until now, using the 20 Mbps package.
Same thing here. So I've also been using Home Fiber since 2017, which is what makes for an interesting discussion, because we are both customers and there's someone at Safaricom who's in charge of focusing on the space we're operating in, the consumer space. We are talking about the senior manager for the fixed data tribe who focuses on the consumer space. He's called Stephen Maina. I'm going to give him under a minute to introduce himself to you before we bombard him with all the questions you've always asked us about on fiber and all the complaints you've had ourselves about on fiber. Because if you are, both myself and Nick are talking about 2017, Nick's on the same. So we've been your customers since the very start. So we are your customers as well as the services. So still
loyal customers.
Loyal customers. Well, thank you so much, Emmanuel, Nick and Dickson, for giving us this opportunity. I'm happy actually to find people who had been on the service before I got it on it myself. As I started back with Home Fiber, it was just in 2019. Before that, I was in another role, mostly giving you voice-related offers and other stuff. And at that time also, where I lived did not have Home Fiber. So for those who probably didn't have it then and then moved to it, it was a glaring difference. But in all, I would say I love being part of Safaricom generally, first in terms of what our purpose is, transforming lives. And I love being in this center where we are talking about home internet, because a lot of conversations that keep talking about transforming lives, they start at the home. And that's where the innovation space, we are trying to empower all customers and they're trying to elevate them so that we can bridge that digital divide in addition to what we are doing on the mobile space. So that's why I'm in home internet and I'm glad to be with you guys today.
Thank you. Now, can you introduce yourself? You've told us about all those things and how far your journey is with Home Fiber. Can you, for someone who's listening to this, what is Home Fiber? We've told our readers about this. I think I did an explain article 6 years ago, something, but we need to hear it from someone at Safaricom, because this is the first time we are talking to someone like Safaricom for the service. So what is Home Fiber?
Well, Home Fiber consists of two words, the home and the fiber piece. Technologically, fiber is all about optical cables. This is where you pass information using light signals. And we always talk about as fast as light. So this is extremely fast speeds to transmit information. When you go back, and I was fortunate to be born in an era where we did not have home internet. We started with the landlines before mobile phones came through. I experienced what it meant to have your first Hotmail account. In fact, I used to go.
That's a long time ago.
Opening an account for somebody. The time it took to just send and receive information. Then we had also phones that did not have internet capability. We had a dial-up equipment in the house so that you could be able to communicate or receive an email. And those dialing tones forever live in my mind. But in essence, what we could do during that time is so different from what we are able to do in the home space. Just recently, when the world was shut down, we all went back into our homesteads to protect ourselves. But our lives evolved. We continued working remotely. This would not have been possible, especially in Kenya, if you were to look at it possibly 15 years back. Because this will have, getting home internet into your house to enable you to do your classes, to be able to work remotely, to be able to do a hustle, like show people how to cook in real time and have conversations. This is what we talk about, transforming people's lives. And this is the beauty about it. So when it comes to home fiber, fiber is just elevating that transmission of information to be fast enough. You don't have to wait for eons before somebody responds, or you wait for eons before you see. Streaming, the favorite word nowadays is Netflix and chill. Right?
Yeah.
Netflix founders, the time we used to go and buy tapes where we could come and see movies, you had to wait for those tapes.
Yeah, the DVD guy.
You found DVD. Yeah, DVD. Yeah. There was tapes. There was actually tapes of Arnold Schwarzenegger, Stallone, and the rest. You look at it and just imagine that now if I want to watch anything from anywhere, it's just a click with an application, with our TVs that we call them smart. There's so much more we can do in the home space. And now that's why we came in as home fiber. It's about security. It's looking at how do your equipment can connect to the internet. What more can you do? So we are laying the foundation so that our homesteads also evolve to support our digital lifestyles.
Thank you. Nick, you've never owned a DVD, have you?
Nah. I remember, of course, I've owned a DVD before.
You had a DVD player?
No.
Yeah, exactly.
It started at a VCR.
No, in your adult life, wachana na hiyo ya nyumba ya mzazi. You've never owned a DVD player. Dixon has never owned a DVD player. I've never owned a DVD player. So you'd think, how do we get our entertainment fix? Basically from the internet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Your TV can go online, can stream. Because we've evolved. I remember when you were in college, we'd go to where there were internet hotspots. Download even YouTube videos, then you can view later. These days, kids who are in college just stream wherever they are.
Yes.
But at the very least, we didn't find the DVD player guy. We were never that person. At least that speaks to the current customer.
Now, yes.
Talking about the current customer, as the people who are looking after them, who do you look after them? For a start, what's the sequence between a complaint being lodged with you guys, and it being resolved? What are the timelines? Because I think the most recent high-profile case I've seen on Twitter was for Boniface Mwangi asking you guys, can you just refund my money? Because I paid, I was told this, the connection never came. But then it was the very first time I was seeing such a complaint targeted at Safaricom. For all your faults, I think this one service that you've run very well. Yeah. But since then, I think we've been sharing this with Nick. I think we've spotted two more.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm interested in knowing what happened to you people. Like, what's the customer sequence channel, the complaints when they come through, and how are they resolved? Because all of these things that we've talked, now that we are saying entertainment, it's very sensitive. So the internet is critical for entertainment, kids learning. So imagine work from home is a thing.
Yes.
Yeah. So imagine you are about to go into a critical Zoom meeting and you can't go, and it's not Kenya's Power's fault. It's your internet. Not right. So what's the sequence for customer complaints from being lodged to resolution?
Okay. I would want to split it into two scenarios. Mm-hmm. For example, when it's a complaint around new connection and then a complaint for an existing customer. So we talk about a new connection, it means that we are availing fiber for the first time into your home, rather. Now, when it comes to that, there is the usual SLA. We say we'll connect you within 48 hours once we have taken your details, and then we send our partners. Now, our partners are working well within the timelines within the day to come and connect you. So what will happen more likely is that when we sell, and this is the complexity around rolling out physical infrastructure. We sell, and sometimes we sell what we call out of coverage. What can be out of coverage is that a homestead that is next to an area that is covered could be potentially not within the scope that was there when we rolled out. You have ever seen in instances, in 1 year, an estate had X number of buildings. Come the following year, it has gone up. And within that particular estate, there is somebody who wants fiber. So the neighbor has, but you cannot get, because at this point, the infrastructure we brought already was sized for what was existing. Mm-hmm. So sometimes those happen, and then we have to now do another exercise, which is to upgrade the network, to extend it, to fit the new customer who is meant to get the connection. So that's one scenario that comes out of it. The second one is that as we try to also sell, one might be given, well, I can say, an opportunity to create connected. And like I gave the first example, he could be well outside the region that actually we had scoped to get this particular fiber cable to reach him. So remember, there's the one that was within the area, but now we can call that capacity related. Mm-hmm. So like in this room, we have opportunity for just one more person with that chair, right?
Yeah.
So if we have two more people coming in, one has to stand outside. But yeah, then if you look at the other one where we are trying to tell somebody outside there that we are going to give him service, yet we are in here, yeah, that's where the challenge comes in. And because we are trying to make sure that our systems are accurate enough to help that person know that, you know what, we may not be able to give you service at this point until a later time. And that's where now some breakages happen, but we tend to communicate as fast as enough, mm-hmm, so that we can resolve those. So that's on the new customer front. For an existing one, it could be a myriad of issues, because some of them happen due to indoor coverage within the homestead. Others could happen from external disruptions. And let me say, the bulk that would have a lot of adverse effects, mm-hmm, is external disruptions. Mm-hmm. During the time we had the expressway, we had to run night and day because our cables were in the way. And I don't know whether most people realize this. Public land is where most of our infrastructure is. We called it the way leaves. Mm-hmm. So when they are digging it up, our cables would get cut. And when that happens, could be part of a large area that has been disrupted.
Actually, I used to notice that when when Woyoki was being constructed still.
Yeah.
A lot of times.
Exactly.
Well.
And you can imagine that is something we call unplanned. By the time it happens, for us to resolve it, we need to have people on ground to do that activity. Sometimes it's raining, sometimes it's late in the night. We have to get security to support our partners. In these efforts, it takes time to resolve it. And as you mentioned, we are working from home remotely. So what we do try is trying to minimize the impact. So at these instances, we can give you bundles to continue working, but in itself, we do realize that the key thing you need from us is just to resume your service. And that's what we tirelessly try to work. Some of the things that we do to make sure that in future such disruptions are not adversely affecting you is now what we call planned disruptions. So we can see this area is growing fast. And because of that, we will need to overhaul our infrastructure, similar to what the roads do or the road works team does. They might want to expand. So in this case, we'll come and tell you, Emmanuel, in day X or day Y, you'll have a downtime. This is to help us to increase our equipment capacity or deploy the equipment in a different way to have redundancies. So that kind of disruption can come through. Most of the times when the feedback comes through from such channels, I feel it's because we didn't handle it the right way from the start, and possibly the person felt that they were not heard. And we are trying as much as possible to make sure that we always are engaging our customer fast enough, making sure that they are getting listened to, and also we are responding as fast enough. But it has a different, what I can say, way of operating, because it's a physical infrastructure, unlike for your phone and the rest. So there are complexities around it that may not go into the details, but we try to mitigate and abstract.
I mean, have you mentioned a lot of important points, some of which actually we've been getting questions around, especially from our readers, and who basically just follow our podcast and all that. But let me take you back a little bit. So it's 2017 when Home Fiber actually went live. So we're looking at 6 years, since then, right? Maybe just, as I said, let me take you back. So just take us through the journey, since then, what has happened, what has improved and all that.
Our journey started earlier than 2017. To be exact, the trigger or catalyst was in 2014. The minute we talked about 4G speeds on mobile, it meant that we had infrastructure to support it. And this infrastructure is cabling of fiber to our BTS or base stations. So when you are connected, as we sit here, to a base station, you are remotely, or we can say you are using the airwaves. The minute it lands on the base station, it's converted to digital data that is now on a physical medium, which now is transmitted through light and ultra fast received in all our data centers or the particular data centers that we route to. So from 2014, when we did that, we started rolling out fiber all throughout our countries, connecting the fiber stations. And in itself, just the same way we do, or what we see in our environment, when a road passes somewhere, soon enough, estates sprout. The same way happened. We branched off because there is fiber availability. We saw an opportunity to connect now homes with fiber. So that's what now we started in 2017 after a pilot with a few estates in 2016 thereabout. So far, I would say we have really impacted this industry for fixed, because when we were coming into this space, we were roughly 300,000 connected homes and businesses as per CA report. If you look by March 2023, the last report, we are at around 1 million. So 700,000 connected businesses as homes in that period. And if you look at the portion that Safaricom has really fed into it, it's around 40% plus. So we can say that we really have worked hard to make sure that this home space, and especially homes, are getting access to home internet.
Great. Now I'll take you back to customer service. One of the things I really liked about On Fiber was, like, 3 years ago or something, I'd wake up and get the red LOS error on my router. On some days I'd find that, and then I contact customer support and they sort me out. On other days, before I even step out of bed, I'll pick my phone and check, and I'll get a text from Safaricom. There are issues with the internet, blah, we are sending someone to come fix. I really liked that. Do you still do that? Where you see faults on my end before I even see them and you send someone to resolve it? Does that still happen? Hey, and then they send you data bundles in the meantime. I've been sent to those data bundles when that fault happened, and when I'm moving houses, I call customer care, I tell them, tomorrow I'm moving houses, so I need my internet fixed as soon as they come. They slot in a ticket and then they send me bundles. All those goodies, are they still there? Because they are a big part of why we've stuck around for 6 years. And yes, for other people who are listening, probably they are some of the reasons why they hang around you guys.
I mean, yes, we love incentives, you know.
Yeah. and for us, and I remember I asked, I think, someone in your position previously why they were not giving existing customers lots of incentives, and they told me they were looking into that space because, by the nature of the competition authority, there's only so much they can do. Because that time we were complaining, lots of goodies are going to newer subscribers. So that one, and are you still doing all those nice things?
So we have touched on one thing, which is proactive capabilities that we have on our network. Mm-hmm. And like I mentioned earlier, when we have planned disruptions, we work towards minimizing that impact on your end. The notifications, the bundles, they come through. When we have unplanned disruptions, that's where now we have to react by first identifying the issue, assessing how long it will take, notifying you on how long it will take us to resolve it, and also giving you something that can keep you engaged, or rather not engaged, but can help you in terms of connecting into internet as you continue. Now, the proactive piece in itself is always an ongoing activity. We are a telecommunications company. We deal with technology every single day. What we are looking at is enhancing our experience further. And what that means is that sometimes we do overhauls even for our internal systems. When we are doing such things, some parts are affected. Just the same way you have to remove a part that you can bring in a new one. When that happens, some functionalities will be put on pause so that then we do it with an alternative one. So we tend to have what I can say semi-automated pieces around this area. So some will find the proactive piece working seamlessly because their area is not affected. Mm-hmm. Others might have that there's a little bit delay in the proactiveness because it's semi-automatic as we work towards now fully automating that leg. So it is there. Sometimes it's just broken for a few, but we are trying to make sure that the systems are working automatically all through.
Can I tell you what's broken, at least for me?
Yes.
I didn't get a notification to pay my bill for this month we are in. It's just that I'm too organized and I don't like how I make money is by being on the internet. So I can't entertain a day where I'm not online. So I usually have those bills scheduled to go. But the remainder is really nice. I missed mine. I actually made an observation on Twitter and there were a couple of other people who came and said the same thing happened to me. For me, it was unusual because those reminders come, a lot of them, a few days before renewal day, on renewal day, all of those. This time it didn't come. So you might want to check.
To check on that.
Yeah.
This type of feedback helps us to assess whether or not some parts of the system are broken or not. Mm-hmm. We also have our internal alert systems. It may look like possibly, and what we need to identify is what happened. Because I'm happy, at least for you, you are organized that you could.
Yeah, someone just come and say, there's no interest in
that. And maybe this gives me an opportunity to ask, do you have Bill Manager? Because we send our notification using Bill Manager. Mm-hmm. You'll give you a direct link to pay via M-Pesa in itself and has those alerts. Have you?
Yeah, I'm actually happy. These days, the link that went now, before the disruption this month, the previous month, the link I got and the month before that, which was the first time I was seeing it, the SMS came, and when you'd click through the link, you actually now get an invoice.
Yes.
So for people who, SME people, those who do businesses and they need to cost this in their books of accounts, it's very nice. That was never there before. I remember taking note the first time I saw it, which was like 2 months ago.
Yes.
Yeah. So there are steps in the right direction. And yes, we do use Bill Manager. That's how we stay over.
maybe right now could be the right time for us to talk about, for example, the expansion plans. I remember when the pandemic hit, I'm sure you had a lot of people signing up for Safaricom Home Fiber.
Mm.
A lot of people signing up. And I think over the years, remote work becoming a thing, again, we still have more people signing up. But here's the thing. I come from a very remote village, in Kitale, where even getting a 3G connection is actually a struggle. So I'm thinking, does Safaricom have plans, for example, to expand to such areas? Like, right now, you just mentioned here, we have like almost 1 million subscribers right now, How do you plan to reach now more subscribers outside, urban areas like Nairobi, just go to remote areas and all that? Do you have such plans in the pipeline?
Yes. In fact, we have already covered 18 counties, trying to cross over the half mark by adding another 5 counties into play.
Nice.
What also we are doing is that we realize that for home internet, by the time you get fiber, we don't need to have you just continuing using your mobile phone. So we are leveraging our 4G network. I'm surprised you mentioned that you don't have 4G
I've reached up actually like a couple of, it can be, but then we are planning, we'll have to have a master. But again, it's a process. We have to talk to CA, so I've been told just to wait.
Exactly. So there are also policy elements that can delay, but our first step is getting 4G, because then we can give you access using what we call 4G for home alternatives. Mm-hmm. Recently, we also went towards 5G as a new technology. So that can be also an alternative that can give you at least faster speeds compared to what you have on 4G. The essence is that in this, what I can call dish that we give you, we can try to use different ingredients. The end result is to just make sure that you have home fiber. But in the meantime, if you don't have, what is the alternative that can meet your needs? So 4G comes into play or 5G comes into play. We are still looking at other options. And one of them could be microwave alternatives. We know of people who use that and they are part of our competition. So we start looking at all these, what we call technology products that can help us get you or your home connected to internet. We will not stick just to having fiber in itself. It will be the end state, the ultimate state for you, but then we'll give you alternative solutions as you work towards reaching there.
Okay. And maybe from just a policy, regulation or less legislation perspective, what are you doing to actually just support this uptake?
The first thing was actually engaging the National Construction Authority. And from that perspective, what the engagements we have had with them is for them to insist and try to push. When building a new homestead or a building, put conduits, so that it becomes easier for us to pull cable to your house. We don't need to come and run cables outside. That's one of the elements that we are trying to do. The other piece is also at the county level. Waylives is where we put our infrastructure. The waylives in themselves, we have to pay to access because it's public land.
Mm-hmm.
Harmonization of that pricing gives us the opportunity and even other players to be able to roll out, because this is a capex intensive venture. And if you are to support us, lower that price. Those are conversations that are ongoing. Lastly, is looking at how do we support our infrastructure once we have invested. As I mentioned, some of the unplanned disruptions are due to vandalism. Yeah. So you find that when vandalism comes in, we need to enforce it. So there's a policy already that has gone through where it's supposed to protect us, but now we need to go to the second level, which is enforcement. Once that happens, then it gives and cushions everyone in the industry a way to know that the infrastructure is protected. The customers are also protected in that sense.
The vandalism is such a big issue. I think I covered a story. There's one of, no, it's your competitors, not you, but one of your competitors had to go offline, I think a few months ago, to just take stock of their stuff because it was being vandalized a lot. And one of those reasons is because there's the mushrooming of those Mtani ISPs. I think guys need equipment and all of those. We've never had Safaricom. And I think I checked the sustainability report. There's no mention of how that has affected Safaricom. Is there anything you can share with us, like how that vandalism has affected you guys, or is it a preserve of the likes of POA and those other players?
Now, we all have vandalism in different aspects. Mm-hmm. POA's technology is different from us. It's a microwave one. Us, we don't have that into our portfolio yet. Mm-hmm. What we are looking at in terms of our vandalism is our cables just being cut. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you find that a cable which was strung across or along an estate line has been cut maliciously, or you don't know whether it was intentionally, which means that's a disruption because they can't use it anyway. I do remember during our times when we used to have the telecom lines, which had been thrown away, becoming what, clothes lines, right?
Yes.
They used to do it. But for us, when they cut, you don't see a similar state that they actually go and reuse it somewhere else. It's just left there. So that's why we can allude it's a vandalism act.
Mm-hmm. I've been seeing actually the CES Owalo pushing for the enactment of the, according to the Critical Infrastructure Bill.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's been actually since 2018. So my concern is that, I mean, since 2015, actually 2015, not 18, you know, nothing has happened. Do you think that might help if the bill is passed into law?
It will really help, and also supported by education. I think the level of awareness is quite low, and the way to even enforce it, and we are hoping that there will be mechanisms around it to support how to go on ground and protect this. When you look at elements like electricity, you have heard of people who actually even go and connect online wires, right? But those are experts. Those are people who understand. Besides that, nobody else can play around with it because this is critical infrastructure, and also there is a clear loss if you are to mess with it. This other one doesn't have that one because you'll not get electrocuted and the rest. So some of the things that we need is how to support this critical infrastructure, make it awareness, let the community also understand how it is important so that they protect it for us. It will be great, you know, when we see people coming out and stopping people who are attempting to vandalize our infrastructure. Just the same way, you can't sit still if somebody is going to cut your water supply. You will also want to react to it. So similar initiatives also at the community level can help us.
Actually, that bit is where every other time I see something coming up in my neighborhood, I'm worried, how atakata line yetu ya net tena. Do you guys have continuous talks with like the counties? You've said you're looking for engagements now, players, water. So that the way leaves use, there's a way in which like you don't dig up, put your cable, and then next year somebody else is digging up. The other year, there are things you can handle your end, on our end, it's disruption. So what sorts of conversations are you having with other policymakers and all of those things? Because I think from my end, it should be costly. And the amounts you have to cover from my end, it's also costly because it means either I'll skip a class if I'm schooling from home, or I'll have to figure out how to handle work if I'm working from home, or if I'm just lounging, it means your Netflix akuna mchana or something like that. Yeah.
The support we have received so far, and we continue. First, we want to acknowledge we do have a partnership with KPLC. They have the vastest number of infrastructure in terms of poles. And that helps us and even other players to roll out. When we roll out on the KPLC poles, we also get that added advantage. There's a sense of protection because now it's on their pole. And this is one way that we can do. The second one, I think as they continue looking at the policies and the rest, I think it's around urban planning. Mm-hmm. How do we designate and how do we plan our infrastructure in such a way these services become part of the critical infrastructure and then it makes it easier for anyone else to roll out. Mm-hmm. The third one, which are conversations that I'm sure everyone keeps talking about, is how to spur the growth in this area. This year, you saw there was a tender, I think, asking for 10,000 kilometers to be rolled out. Yeah. So these are initiatives from the government. We partner with them. We have these engagements just to make sure that we are getting the homes accessible for us, plus also anyone else.
Good. Now, you've been in this space for a while. I think when you came in, we only had Zuku.
Yeah,
they were your main competitor at that time because the other players were smaller. Of course, the hype means that a number of them like GTL, they also get to have some significant airtime when it comes to publicity and all. But you have a bigger footprint and you've since exceeded Wananchi Group. But now you face a new threat, the satellite internet. There's Starlink out there. For all these areas, you said you are in 18 counties, you're looking to add 5 more?
Yes.
You're looking to add 5 more. Exactly. So you'll be at 23, you'll be at half.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We have 47. So this Starlink, how do you see satellite internet affecting your operations in this country? Now, before you answer that question, I'll give you a backdrop. In episode 64 of this podcast, we had a lengthy discussion about Starlink. And our overall feeling was still products like Homfiber are the best bang for buck for most Kenyans, because the initial cost of acquisition for Starlink is quite high. But that was our view. How are you viewing the competition from your end?
I mean, is Starlink a real threat in the first place?
Do you, are you seeing yourselves, if he doesn't ever get fiber, uko kwao, you'll lose him to Starlink?
Well, in business, I would want to say that labeling somebody as a threat is not the right way.
Yeah.
We say it's good to have competition because it brings the best out of us. Mm-hmm. We try to make sure that we can be better than the other person so that you can choose us to differentiate us. When it comes to Starlink, their approach is to cover the areas that are possibly not marginalized, but
underserved.
Yeah. So they are looking at areas where they see physical infrastructure being rolled out in the immediate future might be too expensive. Mm-hmm. So they give an alternative. And that's a similar approach that I saw also for Mawingu and Poa.
Yeah,
so in
yeah.
fact, for those two, they're in the same bucket with Starlink. And if you are to compare, then I would ask which one is more favorable.
Mm-hmm.
You know the price for Poa, you know the price for Mawingu, and you know where they try to cover vis-a-vis where we are rolling out fiber. So for Starlink, I think even with their model, there is a segment that they will get.
Mm-hmm.
For us, it's not that new because even in the past, we have partnered with other operators, even for satellite, to connect areas like even what we call the refugee camps, as far as Garissa and the rest, to give connectivity.
Mm-hmm.
What usually separates us and also is not unknown is that this is not a scalable approach. That's why you don't hear about it. From scalable solutions like Homfiber, that's what you'll be able to see. But for bespoke solutions, we do partner with satellite providers for those unique places. So we are having Starlink coming in to fit into a space that possibly there is a gap, but it won't last for long.
Yep.
We will definitely get to that place.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, it will also push us to be better than Starlink.
Yeah.
So we are looking forward for that engagement.
In fact, our view during the last episode, when you were talking about Starlink, our view was like, I think Starlink is meant especially for mass usage. Like an example, for example, a big hospital back in my village where, Homfiber is not yet there. I mean, Starlink would actually work for them, So yeah, basically that was our view, yeah. I think, maybe as we just come to an end, as we almost wind up, of course, we've been fiber users for all these years. And of course, as a customer, I have expectations, right? Maybe just as we come to an end, unless Chenze has another question, what should customers like me, and Chenze and Dixon, really expect, you know, moving forward.
What are you doing to make us stay?
Exactly,
yeah. I know you're out there looking for more and more customers.
Yes. EPL is back.
Mm-hmm.
And did you know you can actually watch it on Showmax at a discounted price if you buy through Safaricom?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, I've been seeing the text. But that still is for new subscribers?
No. It's not new.
The offer you're giving?
It's not it's for not new customers. Even for everyone.
For everyone.
Yes, yeah. It's so noisy.
I clicked through and it was a dead end. In fact, I have a screenshot on my old phone. It was a dead end.
Try it again, man.
Yeah.
But essentially what we are doing is that we have gotten into your house. We are trying to give you more value. So we are partnering with content providers. That's the first step that we have done. So we have Showmax and we look for more so that then you can get access. Then the second thing is also on security. So we have a package called SecureNet.
Mm-hmm.
And this is for those who have young children and want to make sure that they are protected. The level of protection we are looking at is the type of content you access. Second is also on their behavior. I know even as a parent, sometimes our kids just want to watch throughout the day.
Yeah.
So study becomes a challenge. Mm. And especially if you are not there to actually authoritatively tell them, go and study, then you resort to other mechanisms. SecureNet can help you by setting defined periods where internet can be off. So these are the things that we are doing. Partnerships also with people who can give us insurance. We have had that as our packages to secure you. So we keep looking and trying to innovate through that space so that you stay with us, Emmanuel, and also Nick. And as we continue looking at other programs that possibly in the near future that will bring out other aspects to reward you for being with us. So don't move.
final question from me. What informed the move from having a standalone on fiber app to having it integrated into my Safaricom? Because it feels lost there. Like an afterthought. And the standalone app was so good. You brought all of the functionality there, but it's never really been the same. And especially for those of us, you keep giving us customized offers. There are these upgrade plans you have, like I'm on silver, whatever upgrade. Yeah, you know, that's never covered in the app. So me, I usually just know at the back of my head, I need to give Safaricom 5K every month.
Every month.
And as long as I pay that via M-Pesa, that account is settled. But I can never ever pay that via the app.
For the app.
Yeah.
So what we have embarked on is just having one app for Safaricom. And this is to bring all our features and products. The journey that we had started and where we got our home app would have ended up you having multiple, like three apps or more, just to manage your Safaricom products. So we felt, and especially feedback from customers also saying, why do I have to go from one app to another? The challenge was coming, I don't have space on my phone. I can't keep downloading all these apps. The issue that you have been experiencing, it's in our roadmap. We are bringing all the functionalities and the priority we have given is for experience-related features. For example, you can change your password now through the app. Mm-hmm. More often than not, we have many people calling to say, I gave my neighbor the password to use for one day. Nowadays, they are still using. It is slow. I call call center. They tell me they can see many people connected. I'm only the only one in the house.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of approach meant that let's give you a view. And that's why you can do it with your app. Sometimes when the link is just a bit misbehaving or slow, you would call for us to restart, right? Mm-hmm. You can do it on your app right now. So all these features are coming in. And what we are saying, we first focus on the experience ones. Mm-hmm. The other ones are coming slowly. On the USSD, they are still there, but their plan is to bring them on board on the app itself. So we want to have, when you call yourself a Safaricom customer, feel that when you enter the Safaricom space, everything is available. You don't need to go out and come back to other elements, else we lose you. So it's a journey, and I appreciate the feedback. It means for our team, we'll now tell them, you know what, these offers need now to come faster. That's what you are planning for.
Yeah. You actually did well. That was which World Cup, 2018 one? Lots of deals. You had partnerships with Kwese.
Yes.
Yeah, there are multiple ways to watch the World Cup. Lucky last year, only to Chesa. There was real nothing.
No.
There was only Showmax.
That was the biggest one.
It was the only option. But you know, you spoil us 4 years early with multiple options.
We had multiple options.
Yeah, and then we've stagnated on the home entertainment front. We haven't seen Big Books 3. We have the Ematic.
Yeah.
But it's been there for like forever. Is there anything exciting from that space?
The evolution of our market space is something quite interesting. When we came with the first option of Ematic Box, we were trying to combine our 4G with content. And during that period, that was the latest technology. Right now, for as low as 20,000, you get a smart TV. And it is delivered to your house. Which means it comes with an out-of-the-box YouTube app, Netflix app, and the rest. This meant that the Ematic, or what we call setup top boxes, are no longer needed. Majority of the homes already have smart TV. So that's why we killed that route, because before, we didn't have an alternative. Homes did not have a way to upgrade. So now we said, because now a lot of homes have already upgraded smart TV, we have already met our objective. We can now reach them to a different avenue.
Okay. Thank you. Nick, you have anything for Steve?
Nothing really, but thank you so much for having us and hosting us here. It's been quite an insightful chat. And I think most of the questions we are asking are what most of our readers actually have been asking us. So really thank you just for having us and us responding to them. Yep.
Thank you, Steve. We can never really exhaust for a service that we've used for so long.
Yes.
There are so many things we can say, but we've prioritized what's come through the various channels where we're active on, where this podcast goes. And hopefully when this podcast goes live, there'll be quite a lot more feedback that we are likely to get. We'll be sure to channel it to you and your team if the areas of concerns improve. It's a service that powers how we operate. We are basically online content creators. So when there's no internet, Cisco blackout. So your survival is also our survival. So thank you for having us and for the insights. I really liked that bit of how why we are no longer seeing development in the STB space from Safaricom Home. Thank you. And yeah, listening in, if you're listening into this podcast on whatever channel, you can share your comments there. And you can subscribe so that you get prompted the next time there's a new episode. Thank you.
You'll see you in the next one.